Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. David Long. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Tanya, and welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Map Tuning Utilities, and these presenters are Chris Hall, Arun Ramamurthy, and Phil Van Balen. The presenters have a number of years providing technical support for the WebSphere Transformation Extender product. Chris Hall has been supporting WebSphere Transformation Extender for 9 years. Arun has been working with and supporting WebSphere Transformation Extender for 11 years. And Phil Van Balen has been supporting WebSphere Transformation Extender for 10 years. Their support duties involve troubleshooting WebSphere Transformation Extender on multiple platforms. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Chris. You may begin.
Thanks, Dave. Can you please turn to the next slide, slide two?
Sure.
Okay, welcome everyone. Today's agenda, we will be covering a number of utilities that are used for designing maps and for debugging maps. The first topic that I'll be presenting is the map debugger. Arun will be presenting the map profiler, and Phil will be presenting the page setting assistant for maps, otherwise known as DTX page utility. Please turn to slide three. Okay, the map debugger. This is a topic I'll be discussing with you today. Please turn to slide four. The map debugger is a very useful tool for creating and debugging maps. You can use the map debugger when you have to narrow a problem down to a certain object or function call. For example, when you know that an object is not producing the correct output. The map debugger is not available if the profiler is active during your session, so you need to choose one or the other. The map debugger can be used to remotely debug problems that are executing on most Unix platforms and also on ZOS. The map debugger can be customized to your needs in the design studio. Please turn to slide five. The breakpoints are where you want to pause the map to view the values that are generated by the map rules. The breakpoints can only be added when the map debugger is enabled. So to add a breakpoint, you would right-click on the object in question and select the Add Breakpoint on the context menu. If you want to delete the breakpoint, you would just select the Delete Breakpoint on the context menu. Conditional breakpoints allow you to stop execution of a map at a specific iteration of a rule. All breakpoints are saved when the map source files are saved. Slide six, please. To run the map debugger, you would select the map that you are testing and enable the map debugger either through the icon that is located at the top of the Design Studio panel or by selecting the drop-down, Enable Debug, from the map drop-down. Slide 7, please. On this slide, we are adding a breakpoint by right-clicking on the rule and selecting Add Breakpoint. Slide 8, please. By default, the rule is highlighted in yellow. However, this can be customized to whatever color you desire. Slide 9, please. The next step would be to build the map. When you run the map, the object that you want to interrogate is displayed. Slide 10, please. There are a few options that you can choose from at the bottom of the debugger display. The step in will execute the next object or function in the rule. For objects, the current value appears. For functions, the output displays the result of the particular function. Slide 11, please. Step through to step through the rule until you recognize the problem. When the current rule executes, the results are displayed. At a function level, this option does not debug the remainder of the function object in the rule. If you use step over, this is used to move to the next rule in the current map. The continue option allows you to continue the map execution and stop at the next breakpoint if one exists. Otherwise, you would continue to the end of the map. If you choose stop, this will stop the map execution, and this will cease except for running any run maps that have not completed yet. Slide 12, please. In the debug session seen on this slide, we have chosen the step in option, and the first record of COBOL data being rejected in the errors output card 2 is displayed. Slide 13. Conditional breakpoints are used when you want to debug a particular iteration of a rule. For example, a rule repeats 99 times, and the 99th occurrence is wrong. You can configure the map debugger to stop on the 99th iteration and subsequent iterations of that rule. You can do this by selecting a breakpoint and using the condition option. In the condition panel, you would select the on iteration option and provide a value for the iteration you're interested in. Then you would click OK to set that value. When the map runs, the debugger will stop at that particular iteration that was set up in the value field. Slide 14, please. Remote debugging can be used to determine problems with maps that are executing on the Unix and ZOS platforms. This capability was added to WTX in version 8.1, and the maps need to be recompiled with at least version 8.1 or higher. On the remote system, you also need to start the debugging service. Slide 15. On Windows, the executable file is startdebugserver.bat, and this is found in the installation directory. On Unix, you would use the file startdebugserver.sh. The default port for the debugger server is 2590, but you can change this value by adding the appropriate port number that you'd like to use to the end of the command that starts the process. On the local computer, you would open the map source file for the remote executable map to be debugged. You would then select the specific map to debug. Slide 16, please. You would then enable debug mode in the Design Studio. This also enables remote option. You can then add one or more breakpoints to the output as needed. Then you would select the remote option from the map dropdown. At that time, the remote debugging window is displayed. Under remote host, you would enter the remote computer information pertaining to the map to be debugged. In the host field, enter the alias name or the IP address of the remote computer. In the port field, the default port number 2590 will be displayed, but you can modify that to your needs. Under platform, you would select the platform of the remote host. Slide 17, please. Under security, you would provide the user ID and password to be used when accessing the remote system. In the map field, select the browse button and navigate it to the executable map to debug. Click OK to begin the remote debugging process. The same options that are available when using the debugger in the Design Studio are also available when debugging through a remote session. The debugging service on the remote host needs to be stopped, and you can use the Control-C on your keyboard to do this. Slide 18, please. The map debugger options can be customized in the Design Studio. For example, you can select the color that you used to highlight the object rule by selecting Run Debug option from the Preference option. You can also change the maximum size of the data that's displayed in the data column of the debug rule view. The default value for this is 32 bytes. This concludes my presentation on the Map Debugger. Arun Ramamurthy will now discuss the use of the Map Profiler in WTX.
Thank you, Chris. I'll be discussing about the Map Profiler utility in this portion of the presentation. Please move to slide 20. Map Profiler is one of the important tools that is provided to optimize your maps for better, to improve the performance of your maps. It can be executed either from the Design Studio or from the command line using the command line utility dtxprof.exe. And then the output generated from the profiler can be used to determine which functions are taking the most time. And then based on this profiler output, you can consider alternative functions or designs for the map that could help achieve better performance. Please move to slide 21. And the profiler is a user configurable utility that captures the and reports the map execution statistics. It focuses basically on the component and the mapping rules and the functions and types within those rules. And as discussed, the resulting information enables you to see where performance is lagging, and in turn, you can make improvements to your map design to achieve the desirable performance. For example, if you profile a map and you see that a lookup function that's being used in the map is taking significantly more time than the other functions, you can look to modify the rule to use a better choice, such as a search up or a search down. That is, these functions can be used only if the data passed to the lookup is in sorted order. So in this case, if it is in ascending order, you can use a search up function. And then, as a result of this, the processing time of the map is greatly reduced, and it will help improve the performance. Please move to slide 22. The output generated from the profiler can be used, and it captures the following statistics. It reports on the amount of time that is spent processing the component and the mapping rules and subordinate functions. Note that the time that is specified in the profiler report or the output is in 1 by 10th of a millisecond. It reports on the number of times the rules and functions are executed. And one important thing to keep in mind here is the processing time of any sub-functions rolls up into the processing time of the top-level function. So what does that mean? Basically, if you have an, for example, if you have an either function, and that either function contains an if function within that, then the recorded time for the either function would include the processing time for the either function and as well as the if function. So that's how the time is recorded in the profiler report. Please move to slide 23. It also reports on the number of times that type objects are accessed within the map rules. And also keep in mind here is, similar to the map trace file, the type names that are referred to in the profiler output, they represent the full type name as in the original type tree. They are not that of the type objects that are visible in your map designer. So they are the type names as you see in the type tree. It also reports on the depth or the nesting level of the object being profiled. So it says basically at what depth that particular object or function is. And one of the most important points is, if a parent map contains a run map, the run map is not profiled when you profile the parent map. And in order to profile the run map as well, to see what functions are where the most time is being taken in the run map, you need to execute it as a separate executable map outside of your parent map and then profile it. Please move to slide 24. So as we discussed, the profiler can be configured and invoked from the map designer interface, which is the GUI, or from the command line. To enable it and to configure it from the map designer, you basically would be enabling or disabling it from the profile map icon in your map toolbar. So once you click on it, either you'll be enabling it, or if it's already enabled, you'll be disabling it. And before you run the map to profile, you need to make sure that you have the either the function times option or the type times option enabled in the map profiler options. Otherwise, the report that is generated would be empty. Please move to slide 25. So to configure it from the map designer, as you can see in the slides, in the screenshot, you need to go to the menu to Windows, Preferences, Transformation Extender, and the Map and the Profiler menu, and that's where you set the function times or and the type times option. And also you can select what type of output you need. You need a fixed width or a comma delimited, etc., and then click OK. Please move to slide 26. And then after that, you would go to the map toolbar and then click on the profile map icon, as you can see here in the screenshot in the slide. Please move to slide 27. And then after you enable both these options in the map designer, you would then run the map. And this would generate a profile report, and the name of the file would be a combination of the map name and the prof extension as shown here in the slide in the example. So it will be mapname.mprof, and this would be generated in the map directory. After it's generated, you can open this file from the organizer in the map designer and then view the, from the profile tab, you can view the results. Or you can also open it in a text editor and then view the results. Please move to slide 28. And to invoke this from the command line or to use the profiler from the command line, DTXProf is the utility that's provided. And this is basically used outside of the GUI. And because of this, you need the command server to be installed if you need to run it or use it from the command line. And running the DTXProf utility would return 0 if the map profiler is successful and 1 if it is not successful. And this is a batch operation, so that can also be used for automation. Please move to slide 29. And of all the parameters in the fields that needs to be provided to the DTXProf utility from the command line, the output file name and the compiled map name are the required fields. All other parameters are optional, and also none of the options in the DTXProf utility are case sensitive. Please move to slide 30. And if you need to see what fields or parameters can be passed to the DTXProf utility, you can type the command DTXProf on your command line from the WTX install folder, and then that will display the command usage as seen here in the slide. So you can see the options of minus F, minus T, which specify the function times and the type times. If you specify an S option with this function and type as minus FS and minus TS, that would generate the summary for the function and the type times. If you need the report to be generated, say for example, you don't want the report to report for all the times. Some functions are taking, say that it shows a time of 2 or 3, you don't want the times of 2 to be reported here in the report. You can specify, for example, minus F of 2 or minus T of 2. So the report that will be generated would show the times above that particular time, whatever you specify in that option. So that's what the minus FX or the minus TX indicate. Minus D indicates if you need a comma delimited output. And minus O is the place where you specify an output for the profiler. And minus DTX on the map is where you provide the map name and the map options that needs to be profiled. Please move to slide 31. So the profiler output basically reports the number of iterations and the time taken for each function. So based on the above syntax, here is an example in this slide for to profile a simple sync map that's provided with the WTX install example map with the for the summary report. So to get a summary report, you would be specifying DTXProf minus FS minus TS. and Sync Map Pro is the output name for the profiler output, and SyncMap.mmc with the path is the map name and the path where it's located. Please move to slide 32. After you run the above command, here are the results for the summary for both the type and the function times. So the type per rule summary shows the following results for that sync map. Here the type name, for example, the week and then space example, the total hours, element example, they're all the type names that are referred or used as in the type tree. Please move to slide 33. And in this slide here is a view for the function summary times that you get after running the profiler for the sync map. So let's review this particular results in a little more detail. Here, the validate card would indicate the inputs for the map. Build card would indicate the outputs for the map. Type names are basically the type objects used in the map rules. Float constant is the number used in the map. And you can see the add operation, the subtract operation, the division operations being used, and also the lookup, number to text, time to text, and text to number functions being used. The second column shows the iterations or the number of times these functions were accessed or executed. And the third column basically shows the time each of these functions took. Please move to slide 34. If you need little more detail or more details than that you view from the summary report, you would basically not give the S option at all. You would just basically give the minus F minus T option, as you can see in this slide in the example command. So basically you would provide DTX prof minus F minus T with the output name and the map name with the path. And that would generate a more detailed profile report for each of the function that is being called and the number of and the time taken for that. Please move to slide 35. So the results for the profile for the sync map shows the amount of time that's spent processing the mapping rules and the functions as we just saw with the different functions like lookup or number to text, etc. And as I indicated, the validate card represents the inputs for the map, the main map only. And the build card represents the outputs of the map. It also shows the number of times or the iterations these rules and functions are executed and number of times the type objects are accessed. Please move to slide 36. And keep in mind the time that is shown for a particular entry in the profiler report will be the time for that entry plus any time entries that the next depth has until the same or lower depth entry is encountered. So what does that mean? For example, take the either and these functions. If the either function is at depth 2 and that includes an if function within that, if function is contained within that either function and the if function is at depth 3, the time for the either function which is at depth 2 would include the time for the either function itself plus the time for the if function. And the next point is, any time you see two entries in a row where the latter one has the same or the lower depth, then the first one will be inclusive of itself. So what does this mean? Basically, say take the same either and the if function. In this case, in this example, let the if function not be contained within the either function. They are two different functions used in the map rules, and they are in two different lines or two different entries in the profiler output. The either function is also at level 2 or depth 2, and the if function is also at depth 2. So the either function in this case, the time shown for the either function would include the time for just the either function. It would not include the time for the if function. And so based on the above points and the understanding, we can say that the total map time is the sum of all depth zeros. And based on the above sync map profile report, all depth zeros basically would be the outputs and the inputs for the map, which would be the validate cards and the build cards. So they're all the depth zeros. And the sum of all these times for all this would be the total time for the map. Please move to slide 37. Here are a couple of more examples to help you better understand the profiler results. We saw that there was a number to text function that was used or that was reported in the profile report for SyncMap. That number to text function was at depth 1. So that number to text one, text function at depth 1 would contain that time, or the time that is reported for that would contain the time that the number to text took itself plus the sum of all depth 2s, which is reported below that, up until the next depth 1 or depth 0 or the end is encountered. So based on that, if we look at the profile report, the number to text function, which is at depth 1, took 44. And below that is the add operation, which is at depth 2. So the number to text would include the time for itself plus the add operation. So in this case, the add operation took most of the time. Another example is the add operation, which is at depth 2, would be the time for the add operation itself plus the sum of any depth 3s up until the next depth 2, depth 1, or depth 0 is encountered. So the add operation, which is at depth 2, would include the time of the entries below, which are at depth 3 or depth 4, etc. So here in this case, we have add operation. We have an add operation at depth 3 and a division operation at depth 3. So both those functions or operations would be, the time for those would be included in the add operation, which is at depth 2. Hope this helps you better understand the profiler report. Please move to slide 38. This concludes the DTX profiler utility portion for this presentation. At this time, I would like to hand over to Phil Van Buelen to discuss about the DTX page utility. Thank you.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for coming to our presentation. Please move to slide 39. I'm going to cover the page setting assistant for maps, which is commonly referred to as the DTX page utility. The DTX page utility is used to calculate suggested settings for memory page size and count for the workspace in a map. Now, the utility was created as a way to optimize memory usage in a map and give you suggested settings so you don't have anything too out of bounds. The DTX page utility is not used during runtime and processing of data. It's a standalone utility to optimize a map configuration, and you use that during the testing phase of your map development. The effectiveness of DTX page is determined by a map size and complexity. The larger and more complex a map is, the more useful DTX page will be to determining some baseline page settings. And conversely, if a map is simpler, the data is smaller, its usefulness diminishes. Please move to slide 40. Now, the actual operation of DTX page is pretty straightforward, so I figured that it might be useful to cover some paging fundamentals. And so we have some items that we'll go over. First is the data size and map complexity affect optimal page settings. Setting optimal page size and count will allow for faster processing because the map and data will not remain in memory as long. One thing to keep in mind when you're doing testing is that audit logs and trace files affect optimal page settings, and you should turn them off if possible when you're testing. But you want the map to be in the same state as it will be when you're running in production. So keep that in mind when you're doing testing because it will affect the results of the DTX page utility. Work files can be stored as files or in memory. And in some cases, files run faster than memory, but it's not always the case, so the key is to experiment. Please move to slide 41. Now, page settings typically won't be your biggest factor in performance tuning. They're really a fine tuning. In general, and this is a common rule across TX, is that the default page settings of 64.8 should be sufficient. Very large pages are rarely needed, and the size of the data does not necessarily define how many page entries are required. And I think a lot of people sometimes that if you have, or think sometimes that if you have very, very large data, that's you need larger page sizes, and that's not always the case. But again, that's not always true, so again, it's a good idea to experiment with DTX page. And I think you'll often find during your experimentation that you can run the same map with the same data four or five times and still get four or five different elapsed times. So it's good to experiment, get a number or a set of different numbers, and then determine an average. Now, a thing to keep in mind that if page settings are invalid, the map may not run at all, and you could get an error, okay? A page usage count error is something that many of you may have seen before. That's actually a map warning, and if you see that, the map should still be producing the correct output. It's an internal warning, and it means that the engine doesn't efficiently reuse the memory. And that can be set to ignore in the custom validation options in map settings. So if you go into map settings after you see that error, you can set it to ignore and continue your development. You'll still get the correct output. However, if you do see that, we do recommend that you report it to supports, because development typically wants to take a look at that and see what the cause is and try and get rid of it and make the memory usage more efficient. Please move to slide 42. And one thing to keep in mind is WTX allocates memory in the engine by requiring a memory handle for each allocation. And there is a maximum of 64,000 memory handles, and that limitation has been eliminated in 8.4. Okay, so anything previous to 8.4 had a maximum of 64,000 memory handles. If work files are in memory and the page size is small, we use a lot of memory handles, and that can lead to an out-of-memory condition in versions prior to 8.4. Another thing that's very important is how objects in the type tree are defined along with the data affect what page settings work best. If all item types in a tree have a defined max size, bigger pages can be used and performance should be better. If all item types in a tree do not have a defined max size, smaller pages will give better performance due to the way TX evaluates the data. Please move to slide 43. Recommended to specify a max size for all objects in the data. And this is really important if you're working with variable size data. And the way that it works, at least my understanding, is that if you have variable size data and the engine's going through validation, it has to go through or determine the number of bytes for each character. And if you don't have a max size for a certain object, as the engine goes through and it's trying to determine what the object is, it has to go through and count all the bytes for each character, and it'll do that for the entire page size rather than what you specify for a max size. And that process is very CPU and processing intensive. So in that case, if you have a smaller page size, then your processing is going faster. Or will be faster. But if you specify a max size, then you can have larger page sizes, which will give you faster performance. And the size doesn't have to be especially close to the actual max size in order to make validation work better, but the closer it is, the better it will work. Specifying a max size will make validation run much faster, will make validation run at the same speed regardless of the page size. And as I just mentioned, specifying a max size is even more important when working with a variable size character set. Smaller pages will run faster, but the best solution is to specify a max size and use larger page sizes. Please move to slide 44. Now, a map can run out of addressable workspace by the work file reaching 4 gigabytes on a 32-bit platform, or reaching 65,535 pages of work file on a 64-bit platform. If the page size is already at 1024, which is the max, then less data or a smaller fetch unit will have to be used, and these are just architectural limitations of the product at the current time. Please move to slide 45. One of the changes to improve performance in later version of TX was to pre-allocate half of the requested page frames at one time. Prior to this, we allocated them as needed. A negative aspect of this change is that we started getting reports of not enough memory to execute MAP. When looking into these reports, it found that often they had unusually high page size page counts, and I give an example there of like 1024 over 512, which is something that you probably would never or you should never need. When the maps were run in prior releases, they wouldn't fail because we would only allocate a couple page frames, and that was the as-needed method. And, of course, the lesson here is to beware of page settings that are excessively high, and that's where DTX page comes in. It'll give you a baseline or a ballpark figure so you don't use excessively high page sizes. Please move to slide 46. Okay, there's also the reuse work area option, and that's available in input cards, okay? The only situations in which reuse work area is appropriate are those in which the exact same input is being used repeatedly in an executable map. And, of course, keep in mind run maps are executable maps, so it applies to them as well. A work file from one map cannot be used by a different map, and it can't be used by the same map unless the corresponding input is exactly the same. And there it gives an example screenshot of what it looks like in the input card and where you can set the reuse option for the work area. Please move to slide 47. Now, there are specific situations that will result in a can't reuse work files error or return code. The first is there is less than a page using the currently defined page size in the work file we're trying to reuse. Next is the page size specified for this mapping is different from the page size in the saved work file. The next would be the number of types in the current map is different from the number of types in the map that created the work file. And finally, the size of the input file is different from the size of the input file when the work file was created. Any of those items will result in an error code if you're attempting to use or reuse work files in a map. Please move to slide 48. Now, the syntax for DTX page is pretty simple. Here in this first example, I have it down as DSTX page, and that was the first name of the executable when it was first released, and that is still valid. So you can use DSTX page or DTX page, and then you just use the path to the map name and then the compiled map file name. And then in this example, we are running the example tri-audit map. And as you look down, you can see that what happens is the map runs a number of times with different page settings, and then it determines what is the optimal page setting. And in this particular example, at the very bottom, you can see the size is 128 and the count is 16. Please move to slide 49. And once you have a suggested page setting, then you make the changes through map settings. And, of course, that's in the workspace area of the map settings where you have page size and page count. And here we can see that they have been changed to 64 and 16. Please move to slide 50. Now, when you're compiling the subject map or the one that you're attempting to run with DTX page with different size input files, you probably will get different results. And in this particular example, we're going to run the same map with a small input file, and then we'll compare running the same map with a larger input file. In this case, we're running the SortX12.mmc map, and this is a small input file, and the optimal page settings returned by DTX page are a size of 64 and a count of 16. Please move to slide 51. And here we have the same map compiled with a large input file, and we can see that the optimal page settings returned from DTX page are a size of 256 and a count of 16. So So there is a slight difference. We have a difference in size, page size, returned by DTX page, depending on whether it was a large input file or a smaller input file. Please move to slide 52. Now, the result from DTX page using the same map with large input file was different. Okay, so what does this mean? This means that the recommendation would be to test with both page settings returned from the utility. Okay, see if there's any difference, and you can also use an average. But, of course, when you're doing this, you have to take into account what's your production environment going to be. Is the majority of files coming to the subject map going to be small files? Are they going to be large files? Is it going to be a mix? So it's going to take some testing and evaluation to determine what would really be the best page setting in a particular environment for a particular set of data. Please move to slide 53. In conclusion, the DTX page will provide suggested page settings to optimize map performance. The results from DTX page are not conclusive. In other words, they're not giving you a hard and fast answer as far as what your page settings should be, but instead they're meant to provide ballpark page settings. And again, the key is you have to test and experiment and check out what your results are and basically come to an average of what you believe would be the best settings for your particular environment. The DTX page utility should be run against maps using different size inputs if that's what your environment requires. And the DTX page or use DTX page to test and experiment tuning a map's page settings for optimal performance. Please move to slide 54. And that concludes the DTX portion of, or DTX page portion of the presentation. On this slide, of course, are some important links. We have the link to the WTX support site where you can find tech notes, release notes, online library, et cetera. And, of course, there's the link to the Must Gather section. If you're ever submitting information to support and you're not sure what to send, visit the Must Gather section of the support site, and it'll list all the items that are typically needed to reproduce or resolve your issue. Please move to slide 55. And this is a little reminder that before submitting test cases to technical support, please try and simplify the test case as much as possible by removing any third-party dependencies not required. For example, if you have any inputs read from third-party adapters like databases or MQ or something like that, enable the input card backups and send the backup files that can be used for inputs. And that should simplify the reproducing phase done by support and make it much quicker. And the quicker that we can reproduce the problem, the quicker you can get your resolution. Please move to slide 56. So in summary, for the map debugger, the map debugger is used to assist in troubleshooting maps. The map debug functionality allows you to break the execution of a map and inspect the current object values, both input and output objects, used within the currently executing output rule. For the map profiler, it's a tool to optimize map performance. Use the profiler output to determine which functions take the most time and whether they can be changed to something more efficient. Based on the profiler output, you can consider alternative functions or alternative designs for the map. For DTX page, it's used to calculate suggested settings for memory, page size, and count for work files used in maps. Provides a way to optimize memory usage, and the effectiveness of DTX page is determined by a map size and complexity. The larger and more complex a map is, the more useful the utility is in determining baseline page settings. Please move to slide 57. This final slide lists some links to the WebSphere products. You've got WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcast link if you want to hear more presentations like you've heard today. You can get the latest trends in WebSphere technology, WebSphere webcasts and podcasts. You can join the global WebSphere community. There's also a link for demos and tutorials. and you can receive weekly technical information using the My Notifications emails, and I do recommend that because any updates to the website, for instance, any new releases, you will receive information on that in an email if you are signed up for My Notifications. And in that time, or at this time, please move to slide 58. We'd like to conclude the presentation and hand it back over to David Long, our moderator.
And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject of WSTE subscribe to receive a list of mailing lists and to subscribe to the ones you're interested in. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better. We do welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation.
There are no questions.
Thank you, Tanya. There are a couple of questions in our group chat. Okay, the second question that's in the chat. For usage of XPath or XSLT-based rules, are there any specific tuning recommendations?
What was the question? Usage of XPath or XSLT functions, is there any tuning? There's nothing. There have been a number of issues reported towards the XPath. So getting the latest, if you are encountering issues in XPath, getting the latest binaries would be, going to the latest fix pack would be the way to go at least. But debugging-wise, we can't think of anything specific to that.
Okay, thank you. It appears that we have no more questions. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We do hope the information presented today has been valuable to you, and we appreciate your participation. We hope that you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site by early next week. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Chris, Arun, and Phil, for presenting today.